Chayvus Halvavus, Lady Shir, Sunday, Shar HaBitachon, Shir number 33 of this winter. I believe it's this winter. No, wouldn't be 33 of this winter. It would be 33 of Shar HaBitachon, I think. Yom Aleph LaParshas Yisro, January 24th. Shvat 14. Tomorrow's Tu B'Shvat. Shar HaBitachon. Okay, so it's Chavis Halvavus Shar HaBitachon. We're in Perek Dalet. He's going through the seven areas of life, of scenarios, of relationships, and how to apply Bitachon to them. So we're in the middle of number three. Number one was basic sustenance. Number two was dealing with money above and beyond basic sustenance. And number three is relationships with family, friends, enemies, he says, employees, employers, people that are higher than you in the pecking order, and people that are lower than you in the pecking order. How do you apply bitachon to all of these life scenarios and relationships? So he starts off with a loner. A person, because of circumstances, maybe they never got married, maybe they don't have friends, they find themselves alone. So he said, then we're up to the next person. He said about that person, they have to, you can't become dysfunctional. Bitachon demands that every situation you're in, Hashem put you there, and therefore you have your life's avoda to do in the situation you're in. Doesn't mean you have to not do anything about it. A person needs to get married. A person wants to have relationships, wants to have friends, etc. But so he's talking about how to deal with this situation as is. Certainly, again, as we're talking about marriage, to change it, you want a companion, a friend, make friends, certainly. K'nei says in Pirkei Avos. He's not saying this is a good situation that people should welcome. He's saying deal with it when it exists. And one of the ways of dealing with it, sometimes it's going to exist. One of the ways of dealing with it, he says, is realize Hashem put you in that situation. And therefore you have how to grow and how to strive in that situation. And there's nothing wrong with realizing the good in the situation. You're not burdened with the burdens of a person with relationships. You're not running to a chasen every night. You're not going to... You're a loner, people. You're alone, basically, in the world. So you don't have the obligations, the social obligations, and that's a very big mila. And you're able to be... First of all, he says it goes through a whole cheshbon, when you're not really lonely, you're with Hashem. Then secondly, he says everybody's lonely, because at the end of the day, it's just you. You don't go to Hashem with your groupies and with your friends, and you don't crowd the kisei hakavod when they're judging you. You don't bring all your friends with testimonials. Hashem doesn't want that. So you're always alone. So everybody's alone. You're not alone, and everybody's alone. Very interesting. Okay. Then he says, there's something to be said for his bodhidus, because Allah certainly recognizes his bodhidus for everybody once in a while. And then he starts talking the extreme. He says, what do you think the Nevi'im? You didn't reach Nevuah until you ran away from your family, and you went and you communed with Hashem. So okay, we're not Nevi'im. But he's showing that solitude has its qualities. And if you're in a situation of solitude, use it. Use it for, you can be more contemplative, you don't have social obligations, you can commune with Hashem, you're free to be yourself more than if you're saddled with other obligations. Of course, he's going to say when a person has those obligations, so then that's his life or her life. And you have to deal with that life. But here, and then he tells an extreme story of a person that went to a place where he didn't see any women around, and everybody was dressed the same, like penguins, I think we call them, right? That's what we call them, black. Everybody's dressed in black. And I think I have to start from the beginning again. If people want most of an effort to come, I don't want to make this thing. I made sure to only review until now. go further. I appreciate you came in such weather. Now I feel pressure to say a good shiur.
You always do.
Oh, thank you for that. It was worth it. Oh, it was really worth it to come today. Okay, so you're talking about the person that finds themselves alone in the world and how to deal with it. You should deal with it. The point of bitachon, he's talking about bitachon. He talked about bitachon in one. Money of, you know, basic money needs. Talked about bitachon in number two. More than that. The relationship between bitachon and nishtavos. Number three, relationships. A, solitude. Hashem put you in this situation, deal with it. And he tells you how to deal with it. Take its qualities. You're free of obligation. First of all, you're not alone. Second of all, everybody's alone. Third of all, it gives you an opportunity to Hashem, to commune with Hashem and do his bodedus. You're not saddled with social obligations or any obligations for that matter. You can live, you know, person wants to daven v'sikin, let's say. But he can't because he has a wife and children, he has to be home. It's just not practical. Now you could. He's not saying you should search and be in this situation, but if you're in it, bitachon says, realize that Hashem is giving it to you, and you're relying on Hashem to get you through it. Don't be paralyzed by the situation. Don't become dysfunctional. Sometimes a person has to wait. We all know there are singles that are waiting for a shidduch. There are people that are waiting for children. There are people that are waiting for jobs. There are people that are waiting for friends. You know. So don't be paralyzed would be the lesson he's saying here. Use the situation for the good. You have more time for yourself and you can improve yourself more so than if you'd be saddled with these obligations. It doesn't mean you look for the situation, but now that you're in it, realize it's all Hashem, powered by Hashem, maneuvered by Hashem. You're put there by Hashem. Then he tells an extreme story of people that everybody dressed the same and they had their burial plots in their front lawns and there were no women or children around. So he said, what kind of a crazy place am I in? So he said, very simple. Everybody dressed the same because we don't want a social inequality. We don't want anybody to feel superior to the other person because they have more money, because they dress nicer, they're in style, right? Everyone has the same kiddush, exactly. The kiddush is, you know, five boxes of rugeluch and three sodas, and that's it. Everybody has it. The grud does that, I believe. We don't do that, but we're pretty good with the kiddush committee. It works out pretty good, so I want to give a little space for creativity. And if people want to have two kugels, come on, let them have two kugels. Come on. Okay, but there's something to be said for making everybody be uniform. There's something to be said for that. Also, they have less kashrus issues. Okay? Because they don't do the shopping. They do the shopping. You give them the money and they do the shopping. Okay, so he says, first of all, everybody should be the same. Having your grave in your front yard is a wonderful way of remembering where we're all headed for. Nobody escapes. And the third thing, women and children, they said, listen, we fulfill our responsibilities. This is the word of Chabad. When we have responsibilities, we fulfill them. They're right. They're a couple of kilometers away. They're right. They're set up very well. For all we know, they're deliriously happy that we're not around them. That's how I say that. And we fulfill our responsibilities when we have to. We go home if we need it. But this is the way we want to be. We're looking towards. So that is this. You know, we can be ourselves. We can grow. And this was written in a time when he's talking to males. Let's not beat around the bush. He is. Right, he's talking to the men, he's not talking to the women. Nowadays you would say to a woman, if you're alone, take advantage of it, but, you know, you're not single. But he tells the story. The story is an extreme. The truth is, gotta be real careful, okay. You know, you gotta spend time with your kids, and you gotta spend time with your wife, and talking from you do, but there's such a thing as spending too much time with them. There is such a thing as spending too much time with them. also they benefit. I would tell a man, or I'll tell a woman, your kids benefit if they see you involved in chesed. So at the time you're involved in chesed, it's a balance. You have to figure out what to do. But realize that when you're involved in chesed and your kids see it, that's, you're being mechanech them. If parents never see a father learn, or a mother involved in chesed, and the parents are always preaching to the kids, why don't you learn? Why don't you do chesed? And the kids thinking to themselves, hey, Pop, you know, I never see you doing it. I never see you learning. Always thinking the mother, I never see you doing chesed. It's like, then all the talk is worthless. So, Chagalovas does not say that. I'm hearing that. Chagalovas just says, a person should... You have to be mechanic yourself also. Because then it's in your self-improvement. Someone said to me the other day, after my wonderful drasha yesterday, so someone said, well, maybe the purpose of fruit is to have seeds and to make more fruit. That's the purpose of the fruit. So I said, but then, what's the ultimate purpose? If the purpose can't always be to have more fruit, there has to be some goal at the end of the day. So it's not logical to say the purpose of fruit is to have more fruit. And then I said to him, although people live like that with their children, like their whole purpose is their children, and then the children's whole purpose is their children. So like, what is Hashem saying to himself? Like, when are we getting to the end of the line? Like, when is the super child going to be born that all these 30 generations were only working for this super child? And a person needs to strike a balance. Now, I'm adding that that's also chinuch. When the child sees that you're away from the house because you're learning, or you're in the house, that's already a shiloh, right? That's okay, everybody will work it out. When I first got married, my wife said she wants the doctor to learn at home at night. I didn't. The Shana Rishona thing is a myth, by the way. That you can't go out. That you can't go out of your house to learn Shana Rishona is a myth. It's a made-up thing that has no basis. You can't travel to a faraway city Shana Rishona without your wife's permission. You can go to a local base medrash and learn. It's like somebody made that up, and it's like a great thing to make up because then you get to stay home. But I stay home the first year Shana Rishona because my wife said she didn't want my house to be the Mokum Batala. She didn't want that to be the Bittul Torah place. And then I stayed home. You know, as long as she didn't bother me, Baruch Hashem, so I went home. What's so funny?
She didn't bother me.
My wife said, Sadekes. She didn't bother me.
She is.
So I'm hearing that there's a chinuch angle. The Chagalovas doesn't say that. I don't make believe he says that. I say, nowadays, people will tell you that if you don't spend time with your children, they're going to go off to derech, because everybody's terrified that the kids going off to derech. And of course you have to spend time with your kids. There's nothing to talk about. But when you make that balance between spending time with your wife or with your husband, because you have to do that also, and spending time with your kids, and you have to spend time for yourself. You should be in that equation too, as you're figuring out that balancing act. So if the Chayyus of Others is giving us the extreme case where they sent their wives and children to a different city, it was close by, they did their obligations, but nothing more. But at least let the extreme case, I mean, this Porush that saw them and he said, bravo, that's how the Chayyus of Others ends up his sentence, he didn't start doing it. Right, he didn't start doing it, and the Chayyus HaLovas has an entire Shar HaPrishus, and he doesn't say to live like this. But generally, people are extreme the other way. They have all their obligations to meet, and then if they have absolute—I'm thinking again from a man's perspective—and if they have absolutely nothing to do, they're bored out of their minds, then they'll go learn. Okay. So, but everything else comes first. So let's at least learn from that. And a woman, I would talk about chesed, and a woman has it easier. What can I tell you? Say what? Well, you've never been a woman, obviously. Okay, that's true. I mean, I don't know, maybe in a previous life I was, and my punishment is to come back as a man. I don't know. But a man has a pressure. Maybe they don't live with the pressure, but the man has a pressure of Talmud Torah, Bittul Torah. A woman does not have that pressure. A woman's, let's say, her job is chesed. So she's really involved in chesed. Anytime she's in her house, just running the household. So that's all. That's chesed right there. So, I don't know. It's easy. Okay, I tell you. And that's why there's so many good girls out there and not enough good boys. That's the reason for the Shidduch crisis, I hope. Not the age. Because it's easier to be a good girl than a good boy. Okay. That's enough of that. That's what I really believe that, by the way. There's a lot of great girls out there and there's not that many great boys. I mean, not as many great boys as great girls. Because it's easier. It's easier to be a great girl. Okay, you'll tell me afterwards. I don't want to hear now. So now he is still in number three area, which is relationships, and now he goes to the other extreme, which is a person who the wife of the party and has simchas every night and has a lot of kids at home and he has mouths to feed and his wife is a little needy, and in that case he has an obligation to meet her neediness. An obligation. So what does he do? How do you apply bitachon to that situation? So the imyia habotach belokim baal isha ukrovim. He has a wife and children and relatives for ohavim for oivim. He's like busy with people the whole day. He's a politician. I don't know what he is. So his first sentence is very funny. I hope you're listening so you'll have a laugh. He says, Yiftach Belokim Batsalosumeham. First of all, happy talking, Hashem is going to save you from all these relationships. But again, it means what I said before when the person was alone. Don't be immobilized. A person could say, like, you know, I have 10 kids at home. Don't talk to me about doing anything. I'm like, so first of all, relax, he says. The Baal Bitachon says, again, Hashem put me here. This is the situation I'm in. I'm in the situation where I have all these relationships, and I'm the gabbai in shul, and I'm the gabbai in shul, and I'm koilo and the people, and I'm running a gemach, and I have 10 kids. And, you know. So you have to be tochon that Hashem's going to give you strength. Don't be immobilized. Don't get carried away. You're going to be able to handle it. Hashem gives you the koyach to handle it. That's first of all. Now he says, okay, so that's the application of bitachon to this situation is, first of all, again, realize it's Hashem generated and he'll give you the koyach to handle it. V'yishtadel lefroa mashachayiv lahem. It's very interesting. Now he makes a list. First of all, make sure you fulfill your obligations to them. That has to come first. You have obligations, so that's an obligation. Right? So by Torah law, you have to fulfill your obligations, whether it's to your wife or to your children, or it's parnosa, or you have friends and you have certain obligations to them because they're relying on you, whatever. So make sure you fulfill your obligations. The lasos cheftzehem, and you should do a little more than your obligation. Fulfill their desires. Make sure they trust you. They have from you. You have these relationships. You have to give it meaning. You have to make it worthwhile for them. You have to make it that they should feel secure. Oh, that's what I was looking for. They have to feel secure in the relationship. So don't just do your obligations. He says, like every word here is a diamond. Yishtadel lefroa mashachayiv lahem, v'lasos cheftzehem, and to do what they desire. The Leos Libo Sholemimoyen. Don't get resentful. He's given us lessons for life. You have a lot of demands on your time. Don't start resenting your parents who are very demanding, you know, as we move through life and with a sandwich generation. Don't be resentful. Right? Don't be resentful. Leos Libo Sholemimoyen. The Yiref Yodo hazakosom, that's like the doctor's oath, do no harm, make sure you don't harm them in any way. V'yisabei v'almashiyah tov lahem, make sure you're interested in their good. Don't look at it from your perspective, look at it from their perspective. I was even not talking about children, where you have a chiyuv chinuch and you can't do what they want. He's talking about maybe probably adult relationships. So don't be a baal shita on their cheshbon. In other words, if they have certain needs, so you want to meet their needs. We're not talking about if they want something usher, obviously. But do what's told to have. This is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a native. So even if you have to go beyond your obligations, right, and beyond even Chatzeha, maybe, you have to do what's good for them. And don't do it half-heartedly, and don't be resentful. But you see, the first phrase was, have bitachon in Hashem, rely on Hashem that you're going to be able to do all of this, because this is a mouthful, right? Whoever has, you know, we have our obligations, and sometimes they are very overwhelming. Again, it's not a gzeiros hakosuf. Sometimes you have to cut out certain relationships because you taka can't handle it. He's talking about the application of bitachon. If after bitachon and after hishtadlus, you're under a crushing burden and you get migraines and you don't have time for yourself to think, and so then you have to make a cheshbon, you have to talk to someone, a friend, a rav, someone, or some mentor of some sort, and you have to put the cut out. But he is teaching the application of bitachon to these situations. Be loyal. Be consistent. Loyal. Consistent. Don't be up one day and down another. Make sure you maintain a consistency in your relationship with them. You know, sometimes people have a friend and then like one day they're all of a sudden they get like verbally or mentally slapped in the face. The Yorem, and teach them. Give to them. But give them ofani tolalosa binyani hatorah. Ha'ola, lavodas habore. It's not all gashmios. It's not all going for a cup of coffee in cafe. You know, you give tips how to daven, tips how to maintain a certain level of kashrus, tips on how to daven better, tips how to be involved in things that would be beneficial for their avodas Hashem. This is all included in Vatal Leacha Kamocha. Omar lo sisnas achicha b'levavecha. Okay. Lo liyachel ha'gemul mehem. Don't do it because you expect a reward from them. Or, I'll hear, don't even expect a thank you. Right? Don't make sure. This is he's giving lessons now. This is not the bitachon angle. This is the lessons angle. Don't do it expecting a reward. V'lo l'kadem etzlam, meaning don't think that you're doing it for them, because when you need something, they're going to do it for you. So you'll say, how will they know? They can't read my mind. Believe me, it comes out. We all know that. It comes out. It's nikar. It becomes nikar at some point in the relationship. It becomes nikar that you were only doing it because you expected tit for tat. So he says, don't do that. Do it. Kids, he's talking about do it selflessly. Okay. Again, happy talk that you can handle it. Certainly, do your obligations. Do more than your obligations. Do what's good for them. Don't be resentful. Don't expect a reward. Don't expect compensation. Don't expect them to treat you the same way you're treating them. Don't expect it. Maybe that's their obligation to them, but you shouldn't expect it. You shouldn't do it with that in mind. Not because they will now honor you and they'll praise you and they'll say, oh, such a good person, unbelievable. This is so insightful. Sometimes we do things for people because it gives us the upper hand in a relationship. Right, we lord over them. We are, because they become dependent on us. This is called codependency, I believe. Right? This is the famous codependency. So don't do that. Because right, what does it mean? I make you so dependent, I become dependent on your dependency on me. Because I need that for my own self-esteem, for my own self-respect. So don't do that, says the Chayyim from others. I don't think he knew the word codependency, but he's saying don't do that. So why are you doing it? L'kayin mitzvah sambogrei. It's hard, but that, you have to have a mind. So, it's a thankless task, and indeed, you're not going to get thanked, and half the time you'll get kicked in the pants. Not only won't you get thanked, but you'll get... and just, you're doing what Hashem wants you to do. You have these relationships, people are dependent on you, and you have to... So, I would tell the person, you have to carve out some time for yourself, because that's what we learned. But that's, again, he's now, he went to the extreme of a person who's alone, and now he's talking about a person who's saddled and even burdened with a multitude of relationships. So, we're all a mixture of both, right? So, he's teaching us things about both situations, so when we apply it to not the extremes, we take this, okay, this is what I have to do with the relationships, but I have to carve out time for myself, because I have my own growth. I'm also a person. So you have to juggle that. I'm also a person, right? So there's my wife, and my children, and my friends, and then there's me. And that's okay. Now, if a person decides that his area, or her area, of personal growth is in doing for others, that's okay. They'll make a decision. A man could decide, let's say, to learn a whole day. A man could decide to work and be kaveya itim la Torah. A man could decide himself to run a gemach and be an askin and help people the whole day. So you choose. So it's not a stira. It doesn't have to be a contradiction. It doesn't have to be that you're going to be like those prushim who went away and lived somewhere else. Every person's different. Every person's shame, partufei and shovels, ain't they all say and shovels. Every person has a different, and every person does have a different tachlis in life. And Hashem made 12 shvatim, and all these people have different kochos. But the Lord is talking in broad strokes, teaching you how to deal with every conceivable situation. Most of the time, almost all of the time, life is a combination of these situations. I find myself alone, I find myself saddled with obligations. Don't lose yourself. Have bitachon. Bitachon means Hashem put me in this situation at this point in time, and I have to grow in this situation. Maybe it's a nisayon, maybe this is my life, maybe this is bringing out kochos I never thought I had, maybe it's to keep me on a narrow path where I'll fulfill my obligations and I won't go crazy. That's all. This is what he's doing in Shaar Bitachon. So he says, he gives a whole list, really. Like, you know, you have people with relationships. This is like a wonderful list. It's amazing. You know, do for them, do what's good for them, do what's best for them. Don't expect thank you. He doesn't say thank you. He says, don't expect a reward. Don't do it because you expect reciprocity. Don't do it because they're going to praise you and thank you and say how wonderful you are. Do it because Hashem wants you to do it, which is probably the theme of the whole Sefer Chayyim HaLavos. No matter what you're doing, it has to boil down to I'm doing the Ratzon of Hashem. That's the whole Shaar Yichud HaMaisa, which follows Shaar HaBitachon, is about that. That no matter what we do, everything, ultimately, whether it's the mitzvahs or our obligations and things we have to do on financial tight, it always has to boil down to this is what Hashem wants me to do. The people have to know that. If you know, it has to boil down. No matter how menschlich it seems to you to do A, but if you can't honestly say this is what Hashem wants me to do, it's, I will say it's worthless. People get upset when I say it's worthless, but it is worthless. Okay. Someone who has in mind, someone who does it l'shem kavod, l'shem reciprocity, l'shem a reward, l'shem praise, so he's not going to You're not going to get it. You know, you're going to be sitting there waiting for thanks. It's just going to mess you up mentally, he says, because you're not going to get the thanks. Like, you're going to sit there waiting for a thank you, you're not getting it. The yigala rik, so you're working for the thank you, you're not getting the thank you. The yashas chol olam haba, and you messed up your olam haba because you didn't do it lishma. You didn't do it because of Hashem's will. You did it for yourself because you wanted a thank you. So the famous phrase, you kareach mikan, the kareach mikan. Like, you really blew it.
But you did the deed anyway. You did it, but can't you get something?
You'll get something. We don't know Hashem's chesbonos. I always say I'm not Hashem's accountant. But certainly if you do it for the sake of a reward, it is not, it's not avodas Hashem. That we could for sure say. So you'll get whatever reward Hashem gives you. If you did someone a favor and your intention was to be rewarded and to be praised, and you didn't give two thoughts to Hashem's will, so you get whatever reward Hashem gives for such things.
Because a lot of times, you know, we're not clear about our motivations. You know, we know it's the right thing to do, but do we really do it for that?
So your soul in life is you do your best. Hashem, mm-hmm. Hashem wants you only to do your best. Really, that I can tell you. I mean, he told me many times. Hashem only wants you to do your best. But your best is, but what you just said is very heavy, because sometimes if you would have, be a little, not you, sometimes if a person would be a little introspective, they would see their motivations, and sometimes it's not pretty. Mm-hmm. So, and the proof of the pudding is when something doesn't work out, they get resentful and angry. What are you getting resentful and angry for? You didn't do it for the reward, right? Person's will. They left all their money to someone else. What? I'm the one that gave my wife to this person, and they gave someone else all their money, and you get angry. You can be disappointed, I guess, but don't get angry. You didn't do it for that reason. So, right? And now comes the kicker. He says, if you do it lishma, now this is impossible. He says, if you do it lishma, then you'll get the olam hazeh things too. Which makes it impossible to do it lishma. Yasrei malakim, you try. You do your best. That's the yisod. We learned that shara bitochon back in Paragimel, where he says, you rely on Hashem to do for you, even if you don't deserve it. And then he said, if you rebel against Hashem and you go against Hashem, Hashem is not there for you. That's the chayim of love is a shinto. So we said contradiction. So the answer is, you don't rebel, you do your best. So you do your best, you still don't deserve it. Your best is not good enough many times, until we're, most of our lives, our best is probably not good enough. But it is good enough if it's our best. That's the point. On an objective standard, it's not good enough. But subjectively, Hashem only wants us to do our best. So that's the trick. So that's all. But doing your best includes learning Musar. It includes being introspective. It includes thinking about your motivation. It includes following what he says. Don't expect a reward, and don't, at least in your consciousness, don't expect a reward, and don't do it for reciprocity, and don't do it because they're going to praise you. At least in your conscious mind, you're not doing it for that reason. If it's in your subconscious, so like you said, you know, Shkir, I can't, do we really know our motivations for things? If you don't, so you're free. If you do, that's bad news. If you could, but you don't, you never took the time to examine your motivations, I don't know, I'll leave that up to Hashem. The Yosef Afiyam Shvachal, and Hashem will maneuver that you're praised by them. All these things you're running away from, Hashem's going to make sure they happen if you do it lishma. The agia el hagmul hagadol b'olam haba. Plus, you'll get the greatest reward in olam haba because you're doing it lishma. K'moy shomer olakim lishlomo. That's exactly what happened with Shlomo on a different level, on a different scale. But gam Hashem lo shalta nasati l'cha. Gam osher, gam kavod. Shlomo melaches l'chachma. And Hashem said, okay, I'm going to give you everything. Okay, so that So we talked about the loner and the person who's burdened, saddled with a lot of relationships. Now he goes on, and he's still talking about number three, which is the application, number three on the list of seven. He's still talking about application of bitachon. Avofani bitachon alokav v'inyoni mishu l'malo mimenu u'mishu l'mata mimenu mikitos b'nei yodam. How do you deal with this? This is already not friends and not wives or husbands or children. This is already people above you in the social order, or maybe your employer. So either they need you or you need them. That's what he's going to be dealing with. How do you apply bitachon to situations where you need someone to do something for you, or someone comes to you and asks you to do something for them? Avolofani bitchono al elokov b'inyone mishu l'malo mimenu mishu l'mata mimenu mikitos b'nei odom haponim hayasharim lo. The straightforward way to act with bitachon, kshayavi also hatzorech, when necessity demands that you ask someone to do something for you. Happens in life. Comes a time you have to ask someone to do something for you. Levakesh chayfetz bimishu lamalo mimenu o lamata mimenu. Sometimes you have to ask for help from an underling. So you have to have in mind you're asking, you know, Hashem. Hashem is going to decide if you're going to get it or not. Not these people. They might do it or not do it. That's their bechira. But you need Hashem. You need to be on Hashem's side, that He should want to give it to you. Right? You interview for a job. Your first thought should be Hashem should give me the job. Hashem should give me the shidduch. Hashem should give me the children. That's the first stop, is Hashem, and then he has channels how to give it to you. But you have to yiftach bo al elokov v'yasimem siba b'hashlamoso. And these people are the channels through which Hashem is going to channel His Guzar Din, what He wants to happen. Kasha Yosem, when you're talking to them and asking for a favor, you know what you're doing? You're a farmer, says the Chayyus HaLovus, you're a farmer that's plowing the field and planting the seeds and fertilizing the plants. That's what you're doing. Yes, you understand that Hashem is going to decide if it's going to grow or not, if you're going to have a decent crop or a bumper crop or a failed crop. But still, you do what you have to do. We're not going to go over all the talk about Hishtadlus that we had Pak and Perek Gimel. So that's how you should look at them. You're plowing a field. You want to have an image in your mind when you're asking someone for a loan? Your image should be, I am now plowing a field. Hashem's going to decide what happens. The Yisimeng Siba Vahashlamoso. You should make them into just a cause of carrying out what Hashem decides. Kashe Yosem Avodas Haaretz, Uzri Yosem, Sibul Aterfo. You should have the same attitude as you do towards plowing and planting for your food. Yemirtol Atrifa Mimena. If Hashem wants it to happen, Yitzmach Hazera V'Yifra V'Yirva. Now he says something. He says, "Ve'ein lahodos ha'aretz al zeh." You don't say thank you to the ground. Ech hahodah lebore levado. You understand that the ground is a means to carry out Hashem's will. Ve'lo yachbot zelokim la'atrifu mimenu. And if Hashem doesn't want, lo tatzmiach ha'aretz, it won't grow. No matter what you do, it won't grow. Lo tatzmiach. Maybe it will grow and you'll be so happy, but the yikra hatzemach pega, a disease will come, arbe will come. There's no lack of things that can ruin the crop. You're earning so much money, there's no lack of things that you'll have to use to spend your money on, and you won't have it in the end. You won't have the net. Then l'hashem aretz, you're not going to blame the earth, you're not going to bang on the earth and say, you stupid earth, why didn't you grow? So when you ask someone for something, So you say, who should I borrow money from? I mean, we all... Two people are capable of lending you money. I'm not talking about asking someone that's not capable of lending you money. We all know that's not hishtabas. He says, you have two people capable of helping you. One's more powerful than the other. One's richer than the other. So everybody, forgive me, everybody, myself included, says this person's more likely to do it. Let me ask him. That is so not bitachon. There's no way to pretty this up. It's not an exhibition of bitachon. Because if each one could be a channel, then they're both the same. They're both the same.
Isn't it more hishtadlus to pick one?
There's no such thing as more hishtadlus. There's a bar of hishtadlus. Once you do more hishtadlus, there is such a thing as more hishtadlus. And that's then the bitachon side starts getting a deficit. There's the hishtadlus you have to do, even if you're at 100% bitachon, according to most Rishonim. According to some, if you're at mamish 100%, you could be so mechal ha'neis. But Chazalovus makes no mention of that whatsoever. But Chazalovus says, oh, it's Ishtadlus, Ishtadlus, Hashem wants it, he gave his reasons why, etc. Okay, we're all guilty of this. That's what he says. If you want to know chapter and verse, this is where he says it. She es la'cholosh v'ha'chozok shmeyam shalom ba'asol. So when obviously he doesn't mean cholosh, who can't do it. That would be ridiculous. That would be ridiculous. If I have to go to a doctor, and I'm going to go to two people in front of me, one's a doctor, one's not a doctor. So, yeah, that's not a choice. I, Hashem, could heal me through the not doctor. So we know already the rules. But he's talking here, if you really manage to look at the people, remember, you have that image in your mind. I'm plowing a field, but Hashem's going to decide if it grows. The growing is a nace. The seed has to grow into a plant. Like, it's amazing a nace what happens. But I have to plow and plant and water and fertilize and spray, and you have to do whatever you have to do. But you always have in mind, you're not going to get angry at the earth, you're not going to thank the earth. Okay, with people it's a little different, obviously. You're supposed to thank people because that's a midah tova. He's going to talk about that, but if your perspective is it's Hashem, if you have that healthy perspective in mind, then again, this is not a Shulchan Aruch. You have two people in front of you, and if you have a keen sense of I'm asking Hashem, and both of these peoples are capable of being the channel, you're not going to say, oh, but that one's more capable. You won't say that. It won't make any sense to you. If you're indeed focused on the plowing the field, and it's Hashem, and they're both capable, so you just won't do it. You won't do it naturally. They tell me, there's no, like, okay, I'm going to follow the Chayyus Halvogus, I'm going to ask the poorer one. There's no point. It has to come from you. You won't feel it necessary to ask the richer one for the loan. If what you have in mind is that Hashem is providing me with the loan, you just won't. Okay, we'll stop here.